Hello and welcome back to the Jukebox International Radio Show. I am Serena Austin and hopefully Molly will be joining us in a bit. But this week we would like to talk to you about International Women's Day, and I know it's a topic you've all probably heard quite a lot about in recent days, but we thought, given the Master's amazing letter he's put out on the Wellington College website, especially to all the parents, I feel like that's something which we should discuss a little bit more, because International Women's Day is such a big holiday. It's obviously endorsed by the UN and their 15 goals, be equality being one of them, to achieve by 2030. So I feel like it's quite an important thing for us not to discard, and it's something which we do need to focus on, despite the fact that there are such large movements nowadays. So just going through the Master's letter, he talks a lot about Wellington having, quote unquote, a uniquely masculine history and how we should be proud of that, which I think is completely true. I think the fact that in the past there maybe wasn't what we would nowadays view as equality within Wellington isn't something that we should be discriminatory of. Personally, I think it's something we should actually celebrate, considering the fact that now we are more equal. And I think Wellington's fundamental value was to provide the home for soldiers' sons and for people who were to go into the army. And I think that's a fundamental part of life, which back then was necessary. The Master ends his speech by saying, "We are rightly proud of our unique masculine history, and we should be just as proud of the uniquely co-educational future which awaits this remarkable school. Perhaps now is the time to rewrite the school's motto, if Rome fili filique, the sons and daughters of heroes." So I thought, being the international radio show, that we should talk a little bit about International Women's Day on an international scale. I know, mind-blowing. So, first of all, obviously, there is the fact that there is a huge pay gap, and International Women's Day, people across the world have recently taken to the streets to advocate for equal rights. For more than a century, women around the globe have been fighting for their rights on March 8th, otherwise known as International Women's Day. While the date has been hallmarked as a time to honour women's achievements in its political economy and cultural sphere, it also serves as a reminder that women around the world still have a long way to go when it comes to obtaining the same opportunities and liberties as their male counterparts. International Women's Day celebrations can look different depending on where you are in the world. In some places, the day is revered and considered to be a national holiday, but in other parts of the globe are not so keen on the occasion, with women rising their safety to take part in the annual demonstrations amidst political threats, petitions, and sometimes even calls for boycotts. So from China to Russia, this is how the International Women's Day is celebrated around the world. So in China, despite China's long history with Women's Day, the holiday was adopted by communist China from Russia in the late 1940s. The region has strayed from its original focus on female autonomy and become more of a commercial celebration. So similar to Valentine's Day and Mother's Day, it's hailed as an opportunity to express love towards women with gifts, outings, and special treatment. Sounds quite nice. Women's Day events in the past have involved men wearing heels and makeup while climbing a mountain in the Guangdong province, as well as various fashion shows being held throughout the region. Female employees are also supposed to be granted a half day off work on March 8th, but employers don't always abide by the ruling advised by the State Council. In 2015, five feminists were arrested on International Women's Day for planning a protest against sexual harassment. In Italy, on its International Women's Day, otherwise known as La Festa della Donna, I apologise if I pronounce anything wrong, by the way, women are encouraged to leave men behind and celebrate the day which each other are indulging in wine and flakes and cows, flowers and cakes. La Festa della Donna became proper after the Second World War, when Italian feminists chose the mimosa flower as a symbol of strength. So bright yellow mimosa flowers, I mean, you wouldn't have guessed it, are sold throughout the country on International Women's Day. It's traditional for young boys to present bouquets of mimosa flowers to their teachers, mothers and sisters. Aww. While International Women's Day is not an official public holiday, in Italy, women are often given discounts on this occasion. So you never know, it could be quite a good day to go shopping. So, Pakistan. Now, this is a bit more controversial, considering Pakistan is notorious for having very sexist or supposedly sexist regimes in how they run their country. This is very unspoken about, and I think it's something we should be there. They have these ritual killings sometimes, which is across the world, but Pakistan is just one of the ones which haven't dealt with it as much. And I think, I mean, Pakistan is very controversial in the way it celebrates women's rights, if it even debatably celebrates it. So this is going to be interesting. So the slogan, "My Body, My Choice," is one we hear a lot in the Western world. But obviously, in Pakistan, it's not exactly their choice. So the key to Pakistan's slogan for 2020 Women's Day, which is My Body, My Choice, march has led to considerable backlash in the country. Some religious groups in the country have called the slogan vulgar, while others have defended it, saying the phrase calls women and men to have an autonomy over what happens to their bodies, and rightly so. According to the Amnesty International, and the statement encompasses sexual and reproductive rights, as well as freedom from physical abuse, domestic violence and rape, the year's campaigns have seen posters being vandalised, a petition to ban the march, as well as reports of threats from hardline political groups in the country. Women in Pakistan have been taking to the streets to rally on International Women's Day since 2018, that's so recently, when the first Aurat March, Women's March, was organised. This march was led by a collective called Hum Auratain, We the Women, and called for the accountability of her violence against women. Ranking 151 out of 153 countries, Pakistan has a dismissal record on human rights for women according to the World Economic Forum of Global Gender Cap and Index report, one of the highest in the world, which is insane in this day and age. So, Saudi Arabia, once again, very like Pakistan, has got very repressive women's rights, or is notorious for doing so. I mean, even a few years ago, is only when women's got the rights to drive, which is insane, considering in this country, at the age of 16, you can, 17 even years, provisional 16, you are able to take to the streets and drive no matter what gender you are, what colour you are, or where you are from. So, Saudi Arabia. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia marked its first ever Women's Day in 2017. Sorry, I thought it was 2015, but 2017, that's even worse. The three-day celebration took place from the 1st of Feb to February 3rd in the country's capital of Rudaya, and featured talks on topics such as women's right to drive, so this is the year women were granted the right to drive, finally, and given freedom of guardianship. In the years since, Saudi Arabia has hosted Women's Day celebrations in March to coincide with International Women's Day. Festivities in the past for Women's Days have included races, operettas, theatrical performances, as well as events hosted by female members of the Saudi royal family. Saudi women have been granted significant liberties in recent years for a country known for its repressive laws against women. Women in Saudi were granted a historic national first in 2018, the right to drive. While thousands of women have relished the opportunity, some of the activists who have fought for the decree remain behind bars, which is horrific. The suffragette movement was years ago. Why are people still suffering for it now? So more on Saudi Arabia. In 2019, the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman allowed for the decree that would give Saudi women the right to travel without a male relative's permission and the ability to obtain family documents from the government. The kingdom ranks 146 out of 153 in the World's Economic Forum Global Gender Gap Index report. If you remember, Pakistan ranked 151, Saudi Arabia 146, so it's slightly better, but in retrospect, it really isn't. So Chile. A woman with a body paint on her chest marches during the 2018 International Day's election to demand equal rights in San Diego, Chile. This is not an uncommon sight. The slogan, "Never again without us women," will be heard across the streets of Chile on Sunday, as over 1 million women are expected to take part in the demonstration over social injustices. Female activists in the country have been calling for women's rights issues to be the forefront of economic reforms in the midst of the protests, and that have been taking place since last year over the high cost of living. According to the Chilean Network Against Violence Towards Women, over 125,000 cases of domestic violence are reported every year. The Guardian reported that in 2019 alone, 46 women were killed by their partners. Okay, now Russia. In Russia, International Women's Day is treated with as much reverence as Valentine's Day. It's commonplace to see men buying gifts and flowers for women on the eve of March 8th. It's in fact the cost of flowers is known for doubling during this national holiday, much like on Valentine's Day. International Women's Day has been a public holiday in the region since 1965, and officers often mark the occasion by throwing the work party for their female colleagues the day before. From team lunches to gift-giving, women are celebrated throughout the work thoroughly in the workplace. The festivities start in an early age in Russia, when young boys are encouraged to throw International Day's Women's Day's parties for their female classmates. So I think this is a brilliant idea, personally. I feel like there is always this argument of why, of there being these feminists, or these, I like to think of them as feminazis in the sense that they are, I feel like feminism now has a bad name, who always are very much so, oh, we hate men. But to be fair, this entire movement and this whole day is to promote equality. And maybe to a lot of the Western world, we see it as somewhat unnecessary, given the fact that in a lot of places, women are treated as equal. I mean, not paid equal, which I still think is horrific in the sense that we're in, what, 2020 and we still can't really do the same job but be paid the same. That's just unfair. I mean, you fight with your siblings, do you get paid the same for fighting with your siblings with when you get pocket money? Like, that was a bad analogy, but you see my point. Why aren't you given the same for doing the same thing? The logic in that is completely flawed. If you're telling me that's not sexist, then I don't know what is. But what I feel this feminism movement nowadays has become more of an equalist movement, because I feel like old money feminism is modern day equalism, where we want equality for all. And as I was saying, in the Western world, we might not see that as essential, as we already see a very prominent or at least progressive movement on equality. But unfortunately, in so many other places in the world, not many people have that kind of equality. Women are still treated like slaves. They still have no freedom, no choice. Look at America. Some places they don't have any choice. You see these people who are pro-life. It's very confusing for some women who don't know if they should have their rights or don't know that they are entitled to those rights under the UN conventions. And there are some places where there's nothing they can do and they are in danger if they claim those rights. That is why International Women's Day is so important for us to celebrate, so that we remind ourselves, A, how lucky we are, and B, how we should try and spread the knowledge and help those people who aren't as lucky as we are. So, as I've just been talking about, the gender equality by 2030 is a part of one of the UN schemes, is one of its 15 global goals. So as I've just been talking about, the UN global goals, one of them is on gender equality, and there are 15 goals which are aimed to be completed by 2030 to make the world a better place. I'm sure a lot of people here at Wellington have definitely heard about them. So the International Women's Day is a time to reflect on progress made and to call for change and to celebrate acts of courage and determination by ordinary women who have played an extraordinary role in history of their countries and communities. The world has made unprecedented advances, but no country has achieved its gender equality just yet. 50 years ago, we landed on the moon, and in the last decade, we discovered a new human ancestors and photographed a black hole for the first time. In the meantime, legal restrictions have been kept by 2.7 billion women from accessing the same jobs as men, and less than 25% of parliamentarians were women as of 2019. One in three women experience gender-based violence still, and let's make 2020 count, and let's make a difference for women and girls everywhere. Small actions make a big impact, and that's the theme of this year's march by the UN. Change isn't all about big headline moments, legal victories and international agreements. The way we talk, think and act every day can create a ripple effect that benefits everyone. So this year's theme by the UN is aligned with the UN's Women's Multi-Generational Campaign, Generation Equality, which marks the 25th anniversary of the Beijing Declaration and the Platform for Action, the most progressive roadmap for empowerment of women and girls everywhere. This year, we will be also celebrating major UN anniversaries, such as the 10th anniversary of the establishment of the UN Women, amongst others. The emerging global consensus is that despite some progress, real change has been antagonizingly slow for the majority of women and girls in the world. Today, not a single country can claim to have achieved gender equality. Multiple obstacles remain unchanged, and the law and in culture. Women and girls continue to be undervalued, and they work more and earn less and have fewer choices, and they experience multiple forms of violence at home and in public spaces. Furthermore, there is a significant threat of rollback and hard-won feminist gains. The year 2020 represents an unmissable opportunity to mobilize global actions to achieve gender equality and human rights for all women and girls. Did you know that women earn 23% less than men globally? And that women occupy only 24% of parliamentary seats worldwide? One in three have experienced physical or sexual violence, and 200 million girls and women have suffered genital mutilation. That's insane. I'm not saying that men haven't suffered at all, but women have been at the forefront of the suffering, and the fact that there's a movement to stop it shows that there was even something wrong in the first place. You hear about these stories of these people getting like ritual killings because the girl has done something wrong or something which is not deemed appropriate to her family. The fact that her family has so much control over her in a lot of these countries, and the fact that they can be sold, arranged marriage, genital mutilation, all of these things which women are still subjected to. And nowadays, yet being called a feminist is something which is so plagued. That word feminist, everyone just assumes that you're going to be angry. We are annoyed at the men. It is their fault. They have done this to us. It's history's fault. history might include the men, but it's everyone's fault. We needed to do something sooner. The fact that history was written like this was awful. Women have a right now, and we have that right to stand up and say we're annoyed that that even happened. We're annoyed that we had to suffer and we've not got it. I'm sorry. And the fact that we're still suffering all these years later. I mean, equal pay, that's the one which really gets me. I find it insane. And so many girls here, so many people, not here, but in the world, I mean, so many people are okay and just want everything to just be ignored. They try to ignore this movement. They play it off as some silly overarching activist going off on one. Well, it's not. This is something which should be taken really seriously. I'm sure anyone who will ever have a daughter, be that a man or a woman, or anyone who has grown up with a sister or has grown up being a girl, will surely know that being a woman isn't easy. We have to fight for a lot of what we do. We have to sometimes fight to have a voice, especially in politics nowadays. I feel like people are going to roll their eyes when I'm saying this because they've heard it on repeat 1,000 times from their mothers or on the radio shows or from the leftist activists online. But to be fair, no matter what your political opinions are, no matter who you are, you're still someone who knows a woman or has met one. Or probably loves one, be that your mother, your sister, or any other relationship you might have. Surely you should have some kind of a relationship which you want to empower and you want them to make them feel happy. This is why International Women's Day is so important and something we need to remember and inherently cherish.